Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And I think a couple of Texas callers tonight, so I'll sure let you know when they call in. And looking forward to the program.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, sir. And we do welcome everybody to join us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? It's a show about hope. It's a show about the hope that came from Jesus Christ. Those that have been oppressed, those that have been aching, those that have been hurting, those that are dealing with trauma, addictions, needing healing, they all had those things cast out, set free from them. And how was it done, maybe you're asking? Well, it was done by the process called deliverance, where Christians exercise their authority and command spirits, sicknesses, traumas, all to come out of people in the name of Jesus. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, excellent, excellent website. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. He's got nearly 40 years of experience laid down in that book. You can obtain that by calling Richard the office at 307-742-7582. Whether they like to have that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Now, Pastor, each week as I sit there and listen to the intro, and as he reads right out of the Bible, in my name, these signs shall follow them. And I just almost got to pinch myself. It doesn't say, in my name, after years of special anointing and training and calling, they'll do these things. It says believers. And well, that's what we're trying to get the word out to people. I see so much that people think that they have to have a special call and a special anointing, that if they don't spend hours and days in prayer and fasting, that they can't accomplish these things. And that's just certainly not true. Yes, those things are definitely beneficial to the Christian, should be part of your life, but the bottom line, it says, in my name, believers shall do these things. And I just get encouraged every time I hear that.
Amen. And yes, we do not have to be out of a seminary. We do not have to be a priest. As the scriptures say, as Jesus said, we just need to be believers. Hallelujah. I love that too. Believers, that's us. That's little us.
That is.
Born again Christians. That we in his name can do the same works of Jesus even, John 14:12. I don't know why so many churches seem to skip over those amazing passages, but praise God we're not. At Deliverance Ministries, we're sure focusing on them, and we do typically around 12 or 15 exorcisms every Monday night using believers. And they're just like me. They're not out of seminaries and all that. They're just believers speaking in the name of Jesus and setting people free from demonic and seeing them healed, even physical healing, emotional healing, all that in his name as believers. Praise God.
Yes, praise God. You know, Pastor, I've been thinking as I've been doing some study that there is such power in the name of Jesus, and such power in just performing and reading and speaking the word, that I think it's even possible for those that aren't born again to cast out, because, you know, it says in the scripture, didn't we do these mighty things, cast out demons, heal the sick, do things for you, Lord? And he says, I never knew you. So that shows me that there is such power that even those who are not truly born again and the Lord didn't know can even perform these things. But how much more for those who are born again? How much more for those who are true believers, those that are walking according to the word? So that's just read the word, do what the word says, declare things that are in there, and command those things to come out.
Yes, and of course, that was tried over in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva, that were not born again, but they'd seen Paul doing them and the others, and they decided, well, we can do that. And the demons, knowing they were not born again, just beat them up, worked them over.
And it's not a wise thing to do, but it seems to me that there's such power in that name that it can be done, or that wouldn't, you know, like the Lord says, many will say on that day, well, didn't we do these things in your name? And, you know, I think there's further things involved in that. We don't want to get onto the show here. But it just goes to show you just how much power is in the name of Jesus. And, but yes, it's not something you want to fool around with if you're not a born-again Christian. That obviously is talked about in the book of Acts. And that thought came to my mind as well in my study. But, you know what? You and I don't have to worry about that. And I would say those listening don't have to worry about that either.
Amen. Well, we had just 11 cases Monday night. It was kind of a drop-off from the last time we met, where we had 22 cases and we had 26 ministers, and the group came up from Texas. It was just a fantastic evening of the power in Jesus' name going forth and setting people free of all kinds of problems, areas, and even physical healing. But funny, we had, but it was at one point we had 29 on the list scheduled for last Monday, and I expected just to have a room filled with people, and we wound up just doing 11 cases. I think we need to be doing some more spiritual warfare before Monday night, because it looks to me like the enemy is trying to block people. I know that's been going on for years, because people would tell us how they tried to come, and they even drive around the block numerous times and just couldn't stop, or they got up to the door and got their hand on the handle and they couldn't open it. All that goes on out there with the enemy blocking people. So, praise God. Well, I had a kind of a different case Monday night. This man, he went through everything, the teaching and all about witchcraft and everything, and the door closing prayer, and then he and I went into the room where I minister, and it went well, it seemed. We got ungodly soul ties broken and ran into a part of it in the trauma door where Jesus was talking to him, And then we get into ministry, couldn't get the head demon up, but we get into the witchcraft bracket, and it circled spirit guides, and I said, well, you need to renounce. No, I can't do that. I said, well, you can't keep a foot on each side of the fence. You've got to be all out for Jesus, or you're on the witchcraft side. He wanted to have a foot on each side. I said, no, you're going to have to renounce that spirit guide. He'd had it since a child. I said, we can't go any further. Well, he walks out. So, I'm not sure I've ever had a case just like that before, but I'm not surprised at anything, as I often say.
Well, I don't, you know, the danger of it is if you don't renounce that, and let's say you're able to get it out, that door's not shut because your door's not shut because of renouncing, and it could come back seven worse than before and really do a number in his life.
So true, yes.
And that's why it's so important to deal with the legal rights.
Exactly. The demons have legal rights. If I did cast something out, they'll be back through that huge open door. You know, any involvement with witchcraft opens the door anyway, you know, especially things like the Ouija boards and tarot cards, going to a seance, having your palm read, fortune tellers, a lot of them are using satanic powers to do that. But anytime you seek on the other side of the fence, so to speak, information on the satanic side, you automatically open a door and demons of witchcraft come in, etc. So we run into that all the time and have for years. People have to repent of it and renounce it and then cast out the related spirits. So who knows, maybe he'll be back.
Well, maybe. Maybe he will. But they talked about what it says, 29, only 11 showed up, and people talked themselves out. The first time that I was going to come see you, I was trying to talk my way out of it. The enemy was actually trying to talk me out of it, coming up, well, you know, maybe I can come out this day instead of this day and that. And so I can relate when people say, well, I signed up, but, you know, this came up. Well, there's always this reason or that reason. And it's just the enemy talking you out of it. It's what it is. It's
exactly right. That's the game they play. They're there to steal, kill, and destroy, to block a Christian's life, to block our gifts, to block our destinies, and so on. So, but praise God, it's so wonderful to get free. Then you can go forward in your life and enjoying your destiny and your God-given gifts without the hindrance of the enemy.
Yes. It helps you get to the real you.
Yes.
We hear that oftentimes. You know, we hear that a lot in testimony is people will say that after they went through deliverance and they're talking to people, it's like, well, it's like it's a different person. They're a different person. Well, it's not a different person. It's the real you.
That's right.
So, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to go through. If you haven't done deliverance, maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe this is the first time you've ever tuned in, and you're thinking to yourself, what are these guys talking about? This is crazy. Well, it's not crazy. It's everyday Christianity, but deliveranceusa.com, excellent, excellent website. I mean, it has self-deliverance, which if you go and just go through self-deliverance, you just repeat, like you're in there in the audience with the Pastor Cox is being filmed. It's like you're just there with them, and you just repeat as you go. You know, you get the stuff off the ministry tools, fill out the problem list, do the door closing with them and do those things. Or you can use that for training. If you have all that stuff in front of you, you can watch what they're doing. And what they're doing, you can do too. But that's deliveranceusa.com or the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582.
So. Ralph, Miss Jane is on the line. Jane, thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, Jane, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yes, hi, Jane.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm glad you called in. I know you have a great testimony, and That's what this is. It's a testimony show to glorify our Jesus. Well, why don't you go ahead, Jane, and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, changes you've seen, and so forth. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, I was 10 years old when I accepted Christ as my Savior in a Baptist church, was baptized, and I never, ever doubted my salvation. I just had that assurance from that time. I remember that day so vividly, just felt like I was walking on air. But I became a very rebellious teenager, just used rebellion to numb a lot of the pain that was in my heart. And I lived in that rebellion for several decades. I went through two really destructive marriages. In between those marriages, I had an abortion. I had a daughter that was, when I had the abortion, she was 3. And that really shut me down emotionally. And my old precious daughter suffered a lot of the effects of my lifestyle. So I went through all that pain. I remarried in 1986 and married a believer, but he was also an alcoholic, my third alcoholic. But we did have a lot of healing in that marriage at times. And after I married the third time to Bob, I got back in church. I was in lots of ministries, as the caller called in earlier, just was using that really to continue to numb a lot of pain. By this time, my daughter was 12, and she was in full rebellion as well. So just lots of doors had been opened, a lot of pain. But I really began, I was in a lot of Bible studies, and was really receiving some very interesting experiences. My daughter went into rehab when she was, got her out of a drug house and got her into a Christ-centered Rafa program.
Mm-hmm. Now go ahead, Jane.
Did we lose her?
I don't know. I don't hear her anymore.
Did she get disconnected, or is the line still going?
Well,
Richard, are we still live?
He's not there either.
I wonder if we both got disconnected.
No, I'm still here. Sorry about that.
Okay. Did she get disconnected?
I think so. Miss Jane, are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, thanks for calling back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Jane.
Start where I was. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, my daughter got her back from a drug house, went into rehab, and then that also started my recovery journey and went through some just beautiful supernatural works with the Holy Spirit at that time. Began to have a lot of deliverance in some areas. And I've been in lots of ministries. I've been through lots of studies on spiritual warfare. But this was so different when I came that Monday night. And there were three things. Do you want me to go ahead and tell you this?
Yes. Go ahead.
There were three things God really laid on my heart that I wanted to happen. One was just the deliverance from this stronghold that I've had since childhood. It's the generational bondage to food. And when I was working with Mary Sue, the counselor, is just amazing. The Holy Spirit just speaking all through her. we went back into the womb, and I've done inner child work before, but this time Jesus took me into the womb and revealed the root of where that started. And so that was just such a powerful time. So I really knew that that was an idol in my life. It was never about the weight issue. God revealed years ago that it was the spiritual battlefield, and I'd done so much work in that area, but just never was freed from it. And then the other thing that I wanted, just the cry of my heart, was to be in the continual awareness of his presence. I know people like that. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was like that as a child. I thought Jesus lived in her house. And that when I would walk in a room, he just walked out, and I kept missing him. And she just talked about him just in this way that was just so familiar, like she talked about her daughter or grandchildren. And, of course, that fed into a lot of my middle child issues of just being overlooked and feeling like a faceless blob as a child that he just didn't want to meet with me. But that just lay dormant, and then that became such a cry in my heart about 3 or 4 years ago, and just asking for that. I began to read Dallas Willard and a lot of books about that. So I wanted that to happen. And then the other thing, I knew this oppression had settled into my spirit during COVID from about when I actually had to quarantine. I tested positive twice but was asymptomatic. But just this blocked feeling from him, just this lack of joy in my life. And so I knew that I wanted to deal with that. And let's see, there was probably something else, but those are the things. And, you know, he just came in and did exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever have imagined at this time. And this work, I had been supernaturally delivered from that food addiction on about July the 6th, 2019. I was in a room with my daughter in the apartment where I'm sitting right now. And we were praying about something else, and I just felt this push into me. And we weren't even praying about being delivered from this food addiction, but I knew immediately what he had delivered me from. And when my daughter and I got through praying, she just said, "Mother, I feel so weak." And I told her what had happened. And she got down on her knees by the side of me, and I just felt this Holy Spirit power just come in. I extended my arm out to her, and just this rush of words of prophecy over her. And I never had an experience like that before. But I walked into freedom for I don't know how many weeks, and then Satan came back. I didn't know the work of closing the door. And so Everett, when we were in that session with you for the 2 hours, you know, I circled, of course, quite a bit on my list, but so much more. I didn't think I had any unforgiveness to deal with. And of course, there was. So I just kept going back and circling more. And but when I was in there with Mary Sue, that work of when we came to the part of closing that door, those doors, I just saw Jesus. Jesus just came and closed those doors and sealed them with his blood. And I just knew that it would never be opened again. And then, this is the most
beautiful
part. Well, here's the most beautiful part. Is I really kind of saw that just in the spirit, and then he just physically walked into the room and sat down in the empty chair by Mary Sue.
Great God.
The most awareness And he has never left me. Never left me. I see him sitting by me. We're having conversations, not just me asking him a question and listening for the answer. No, we are having just physical conversations like I'm having with you now or my sister or anything. It is just beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I'm seeing people in a new way. There's this intensity of listening. I work in a pregnancy crisis center once a week as a client advocate, a counselor, and I'm just hearing and seeing this different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just powerful.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Awesome, Jane. My goodness. And I can tell you're on fire for Jesus and pumped with the Holy Spirit, praise God.
Amen. How can you not be when he's so physically present?
Yes.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Joy just bubbles up. I came out of that counseling thing that night, and Mary Sue, oh, so much more happened in there. He even revealed why I had this delight. I've never cared a thing about camping, never been camping a day in my life. But he told me to move to where my daughter and precious son-in-law and grandchildren are. I'm moving back to Panama City. And so the house won't be ready till probably March. So, we just began to talk about getting an RV. And then all of a sudden it became very specific. It was an Airstream. I didn't know anything about them, but it became that every time I saw one on the road, I just started laughing and giggling and like this delight I get when a child walks in the room. And then when I was in there with Mary Sue, during the prayer, I said something about he's moving my feet to another spacious place. I've moved so much in my life. And so Mary Sue talked to me, we began to talk, and then she just began to pray, and she said, I see the shining, and it will be an altar. And so that God had put that on my heart, that if this neighborhood we're moving to, I just wanted to pray and get to know the neighbors and have, this place where they could come on this land and we could do Bible studies. And I saw that is the joy he was putting in my heart when I would see the Airstream. Is that not amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're doing good. I noticed on your ministry report, Jane, you marked fear down. Did you get free of the fear okay?
Oh, yes. My fear, what had gripped me that kept me in that bondage to food was the fear of being alone. Not loneliness of alone. And so I felt alone as a child, and so my constant companion was food. My mother was in great stress when she carried me in the womb, and then she modeled, she brought that into my life, how she deals with stress was through food. So it's generational bondage. It was in the maternal part of her family. And so my childhood memories, when my siblings start talking about experiences, I always tell them about the food we were eating. It's just so vivid in my mind. And so it was not drug and sex, although I certainly used that, but it was always food. That thing, and it was always about not being alone. Food was with me through my marriages, through the trauma, through everything. And then at night, in the afternoons, I have beautiful quiet times. I've had them for years and years with the Lord. But at night and in the afternoon, it would start, what are you going to have tonight? What's the distraction going to be? Because God's not going to show up for you. He's not going to be there at night. And so we got through that fear, and that is all gone. It is just free, just free.
Well, that's their game, is to torment and block Christians' lives. in your ministry, Jane, did you feel any of those spirits coming out, or how do you know they were departing?
Well, that was interesting. I didn't feel anything come out that I know of. You know, there was so much going on in that room. Mary Sue wrote down a lot of things for me. So as Jesus was speaking to me, she was writing down what he was saying during those times.
Praise God.
Yes, and so I don't remember burping or yawning or any of those kind of things. It was just so vivid when he closed those doors.
Well, yes,
with blood.
With Jesus,
and
with
so,
Jesus there, Jane, with Jesus there, it cuts through it real quick. Praise God. And of course, we do many ministries where the people never feel anything at all. It's not by feeling that a person gets free. It's rather as a Christian speaks the word, and the word performs itself. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a feeling thing in ministry at all, even though many people do, but it's not necessary. So, I mean, well, when Jesus is there, praise God, you got a Jesus overall with Jesus there. Hallelujah.
Well, that is what it felt like. It was just amazing. I mean, I'm 72 years old. I probably had that you know, bondage, that idolatry, that spirit of idolatry in me since a child. Since I just don't even know when it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, how long? But I was always so aware of that. Also, in our family, my daughter accepted Christ at a youth camp when she was probably 16. But a lot of doors, she opened doors to some things that, and she may be listening tonight, that we're all dealing with. She's so spirit-filled, such a strong prayer warrior. But I have one grandson. She asked me to ask you this question. May I ask it now?
Sure. We got about a minute left.
Well, and I may ask you, I may call you and ask you, but it has to do with a grandson that is deals. He's seen a demon before in his bedroom, but he has yielded to the occult. He's out of it now. And so when he was living, came back to live in my daughter and son-in-law's house just 2 years ago, they were, of course, doing a lot of spiritual warfare and doing that, but he didn't want to deal with the demons. He's afraid of them. And so the question Eugenia has, did she have the authority? They did that, but they could still feel the oppression in the house. And is it because he has to renounce those himself?
Yes, and there's a checklist in my book, Jane, that you can follow. Mm-hmm. There's a chapter in there on exercising houses. Well, Jane, we are out of time. In the remaining seconds,
okay,
what would you say to the listeners as we wind up?
We all need this kind of deliverance. We were there with a group of very, very mature, spirit-filled people, and I believe every one of us had things that we were freed from or delivered from. So thank you, Everett, for your work. Thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry, this work. I just give God all the glory and praise, and it's just powerful and beautiful for us to be able to do his work and to be in his presence.
Well, thank you, Jane. That was a great testimony you gave.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, blessings to
yes,
you.
Yes, Jane, thank you.
Talking to you.
Thank you, and blessings to both of you. Bye.
Yes.
Have a good night. Well,
thank
that was a good
God
testimony. That was a good testimony. Excellent testimony. Well, Pastor, we have Charlie. Charlie, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Hi, Charlie. Good. Glad you called in. And why don't you, you're down there in South Texas. Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, when you were born again, what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so on. So go right ahead, Charlie.
Well, thanks for having me on. So I am a businessman. I own a company. I got a marketing degree from university, and I have been running a marketing company for the past 20 years. I co-founded an e-commerce software company that was recently bought by a bank. I'm married. I have two great kids and four grandchildren, and all that's good. But my greatest accomplishment was in October of 1983, I became born again. I was a senior in college and had never read the Bible. I thought that it really didn't have anything for me, and a guy was trying to sell me an insurance policy on the eighth floor of the library, and he called me about 13 times, very persistent, and he says, he asked me the one high-end, open-ended question that I'd never been asked before, and that was, if I could give you anything in life, what would you want? And I said, you know, people on the outside think that I have it going on, but I know what's on the inside, and I have no peace. I've tried everything the world can offer, and then some. I was even involved in transcendental meditation, which I later found out was a Hindu religion with Hindu gods, and I've repented since. But he had a Bible in his coat pocket. He handed it to me, and the word says it's powerful and like a sword. And as I was reading for the first time in my life, the words on those pages were popping out and hitting me in the face. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know what's going on here, but what's going on in my mind is going on these pages. And I studied the Bible for 3 months, and I tried to disprove it. I tried to do everything to, because I didn't still feel like I didn't need it. But Holy Spirit got a hold to me after about 3 months of intense Bible study. I went to a pastor one time and I said, hey, I was trying to trick him up. I said, I got a mantra, and I meditate on it day and night. He says, so do I. His name's Jesus Christ, and I meditate on his word day and night. And I prosper in my ways. And at that point, the power of God came on me, and I repented of transcendental meditation, and I began to meditate on the word of God. I had an insatiable desire to get to know God, and I asked God. I said, God, you've done so much for me. I went from one day never thinking about God to the next day all I could think about was God. I became born again, and I asked God, I said, God, what do you want me to do? So I pulled over on the side of the road at a restaurant, and I began writing. You know, the Holy Spirit, he teaches us, and he counsels us, and he shows us things to come. And I wrote down on the back of a couple business cards a vision. I called a company in California, and they said, sir, you just described our whole program, and it was an outreach for drug and alcohol and relationship problems. And it was called Overcomers. It was a 12-step Christ-centered program, and it was scripture-based. And part of my deliverance story is about how I meditated on the Word of God, got set free from probably all kinds of, I don't even know if I could count them all, you know.
Uh-huh.
And God came into my life, and he's changed me radically, and we've seen countless people come to know Christ and get freedom in the Lord, you know, through that Overcomers ministry. But, you know, since that time, you know, when all that happened, I still had a desire to be an extreme people pleaser. And I didn't even know the term codependency existed. And I realized that that was a real problem for me. And one night, as I was coming back from Indiana, going back to Texas, I literally just threw up my hands in the air, and I said, Lord, if you don't come in right now and take over my life, I'm going to lose it. I'm just going to give up on life. And Everett, I tell you, and Ralph, I think you're on the line too, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I think it's called the spirit of laughter, but I laughed for about 3 hours in the car, and it was like the joy of the Lord came upon me like I've never experienced, and I got a new level of what it means to truly surrender to the Lord, because I'd given him my life, and I'd accepted him as my Savior. But at that point, I truly believed that I made him the Lord of my body, soul, my spirit. I didn't care what other people thought at that point. I wanted Jesus, and I wanted all of him. I didn't want some of it. And the Lord says, come and taste and see that he is good. And, man, I tell you, I've been tasted ever since. And, you know, when I went to go see you, I think I even went to a different level because the moderator that you gave me, he was awesome. And the one takeaway, the biggest takeaway that I had from going up there and being in Oklahoma City, and I want to encourage anybody listening, you need to go and sit under Everett's teaching. He is a powerful man of God, and he will help you get closer to God. And I walked away from there feeling kind of selfish, like I'd been to a spiritual spa. You know, I mean, these guys just, they walked me through the process. And when my moderator told me, he prayed, he said, Jesus, Charlie just needs to feel loved. He needs you to love on him. And I'm telling you, I couldn't stop crying. It was just like tears of joy and freedom again. Uh-huh. And ever since that time, I felt lighter, you know, and it's just been awesome.
Well, like you say, Charlie, you feel like you came to a spiritual spa. That's a term we had never used before. But it's a
and
it's
I've
a
never
Jesus
been to a spa
overall
either.
Thing.
It just came to me. But,
well,
but
yeah,
I think the spa was for me.
It's kind of like getting in a shower, getting these things washed off of you. These spirits.
Yep.
Did you feel any of your spirits coming out in the ministry?
Well, I feel like I've been doing that for the past several years, repenting. God will show me things in my past, and I'll repent. You know, I worked the steps, as I said, you know, in the scriptures. And, you know, some of the scriptures, it says we admitted we were powerless and we couldn't change ourselves. And then, you know, it goes on and it says to do an inventory of yourself, and the scriptures that go along with it are really powerful about examining yourself and repenting. And, you know, there's benefits to working this program, too, because my brother was on some pretty bad stuff, and he got healing in his life, accepted the Lord. And he called me up one day, and after he wrecked my car years ago and he made one payment, he said, hey, this program I'm on, you have to make amends to people. Do you remember how much that I owe you? And I said, yeah, you owe me so much. He said, how do you remember that? And so, you know, there's benefits in all this making amends and asking for forgiveness. And, you know, God restores in a lot of different ways. But that was kind of a funny little thing that happened. But I tell you what, when I went up there, I feel like I since I've been coming back, I've been living with more freedom. And the clarity of mind, I can't specifically say there was a specific thing. I just know that there was some things that lifted. And that was the biggest takeaway.
And a lot of them are that way. Even in a door-closing prayer, people feel like they feel lighter, they often report, as these things come off. And we've even had people lose weight physically on occasion in the ministry.
Well, I've lost a couple pounds this week, too. You know, so maybe there's something to that. And, you know, but I want to say this, that, you know, I still want more of God. I still want everything he has for me. And I just want to encourage, you know, the listeners out there that, you know, there is always more for a walk with God. You never arrive. You always, you know, are going from glory to glory. And I just want to say that, as a businessman, it's not easy sometimes, but God directs our steps in ministry, and he confirms all the time. And so like in Overcomers, the Lord literally that was the ministry God gave me for 13 years. He literally knocked at the door three times, and I'm a heavy sleeper. My wife, you know, she's a heavy sleeper. I woke up. I thought somebody was breaking in the house, and the Lord gave me this scripture in Revelation. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and dine with him. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And what the Lord was showing to me, he wants that intimacy. He wants to go deeply within us to set us free and deliver us from all the things that are hindering us from coming to the table and enjoying the benefits of freedom. And I feel like that part of your ministry is allowing the Lord to get people to where they can enjoy that abundant life, you know, the more freedom in Christ. So thank God for you, Edward. I really am grateful to you and my friend Tom for recommending you. But what I really liked
what
you said at the ministry the most was how you said that we've overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm us. For years, I dealt with fear, and it was a really bad thing. I learned later that, you know, it was all learned behavior and probably some spirits associated with that, the spirit of fear. And I feel like that the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit has set me free from that. You know, and one of the things that helped me immensely was Romans 8:38-39, which says that, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, no height nor depth. When he said height, I went up in planes and I no longer have anxiety attacks. I no longer have anxiety attacks when I go over high bridges. And there's a lot of high bridges down here in Southeast Texas. We're down here in the near the ocean. And, you know, so getting that freedom has been tremendous. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, So I also want to say that your ministry and ministries like Deliverance Ministries can allow us to hear the voice of God more. I feel like I'm hearing with much more clarity now about direction. And that's been an incredible thing that's happened lately. And the Lord over the years has always directed my wife and I in our ministries, you know, and he's always confirmed things along the way, you know, and so I feel like that's important. When you get free, you're able to hear the voice of God more freely, you know. And the other thing it does, yes, is it makes you less selfish. As I mentioned earlier, transcendental meditation is for real. I mean, people actually levitate after you get to a certain level. And transcendental meditation, the difference, it's a counterfeit because it's focused on self. It gives you a little peace, but it's all about yourself. Whereas Christianity, you know, it's about a different kind of a peace. It's about redirecting your focus on Jesus. And so, you know, that's important for people to understand. There's a lot of counterfeits out there.
Yes, yes. Satan has lots of counterfeits, and it's drawing people in where they didn't know about the real way. Well, maybe you guys down there in South Texas will start doing some deliverances. Charlie, how about it?
Well, I tell you what, we're open to whatever the Lord has for us, you know, and we feel like that our best years are in front of us, and I feel like the knowledge you're imparting into us and we've learned, and we're going to continue to use that to help people see more freedom than they've ever had before, and even in our own lives. So.
Well, yes, the crew that came up on the all together, the 15 of you that came up from down there in South Texas, Southeast Texas, that, I mean, it looked to me like a powerful group that could do anything that you want to decide to do. And,
well,
of course,
you know what's
Jesus gave us these commands.
Yeah.
What's
beautiful about that group, my wife and I have been in ministry for a while, and we've never really felt so much love amongst a group of people before that, you know, like the world will know us by our love for one another. And we genuinely, we love getting together and doing things together and praying for each other. We have Zoom calls and we do things together, you know, socially. And there's real power in that, you know, when we go and break bread, we take communion regularly together. We obviously go to church together. But there's real power in that. And I think that's what the world's looking for is genuine relationship with God and with others. So I think you're on to something, and we'd love to continue to partner with you in whatever way God chooses to do down the road, and you know, that'd be awesome.
Well, sure. You know, when you all came in off the bus that brought you from the airport, I felt like I'd known all of you my whole life, you know.
Isn't that incredible?
It's something about Christians, your spirit and person inside of each person immediately relates. And there's just this feeling that, like, you've known them all your life, you know? And it was such a jovial group, and it was just, really fun to be around and fulfilling. Yeah, praise God for y'all. Well, yeah, I bet you all will wind up setting South Texas free. How about that, Charlie?
Well, hey, I'll receive that. And you know, I was a former bartender before I knew the Lord, and I was a rush chairman in a fraternity. And so, you know, God says that all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God can even use that social thing that I had going on and the camaraderie. I mean, you know. The enemy is, like you said, what we were talking about. He has a counterfeit for everything, but God has the real thing. He has the love, that fellowship that only God can give through people, you know, the commitment, the love. And like you said, our spirit bore witness with one another. When I was sitting in your teaching, I was feeling like, man, this is just like, he's like part of my family, you know, and you are. You're part of my family. You're like a brother from another mother, kind of a thing, you know? And it's just incredible how God does those
Amen.
Things. I love it.
Yeah, it's so cool. That's what you find in Christianity. People relate so well with each other right off. Well, we're about out of time. What would you say in your closing comments here, Charlie?
Well, I would say that if you will seek the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make your path straight. And one of the steps that I like was step number one. It says we felt doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, but then we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us. So I would say tonight, for those listening, God is in the business of setting the captives free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And He has given you, like Everett has reminded us, power over all things. And if you're dealing with fear and insecurity tonight, that's not of God. That God did not give you a spirit of fear. But He gave you a spirit of strength, power, and love, and a sound mind. So receive that tonight. Pray to the living God, the one true living God, and He will set you free. And thank God for your listening tonight, whoever you are out there. God loves you, and so do we, and can't wait to see you in eternity, whoever you are out there.
Oh, thank you so much, Charlie. It was a blessing. Really appreciate it, brother. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you some more.
And appreciate it.
Okay. All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Charlie. Take care. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Bye.
And He will set you free, just like you said. Amen to that.
Amen.
I got a feeling they're going to be setting a lot of people free down there in South Texas.
I do, too.
they were just such a wonderful group. I don't think I've seen that many smiling faces in a long time when they all came out. I didn't see them going in. I saw them when they came out. So praise the Lord. You too can have that smiling face. You too can have that desire to be free. You can be set free. You can be set free in the name of Jesus. DeliveranceUSA.com or the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus at 307. You get that by calling Richard at 307-742-7582. Something I want you to think about that I caught from Ms. Jane's testimony was these were spiritually mature Christians who came, and every single one of them said, wow, I can't believe all the things I was dealing with to that effect. So this is for everybody, and don't hesitate. Don't put it off. We thank everybody for joining us this Wednesday evening. It's a pleasure, as always, to be here with you, Pastor Cox. I thank you for this opportunity. God bless everybody, and have a good night.
Yes, God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on.